This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good afternoon. I hope everyone out there is A-okay. It's been a rough day in the capital, I must say, especially if you live in the eastern part of the island. It has been, quite the trial. So I don't know what happens, and I try to keep this show extremely positive, but when you have a holiday weekend and three major utilities are given trouble, I mean, what do you say? What do you say to that? It is 2024. Some of these issues we've been having since I was a little girl, I don't know. But guess what? We're not here for that today, although we're going to touch on it. But on tonight's show, I really want you to chime in because we're going to talk about a couple things that you guys have sent me over the past week. 422-4796, 422-4796. Area code is 242. If you're, you know, texting and you're not within the Bahamas, it's 242-422-4796. And yeah, go ahead and let me know where you're listening in from. I love to do a roll call. And also, if you voted on a particular topic, you can continue to send in your questions and comments. I do enjoy reading all of the messages that everyone sends. I may not get a chance to respond to everything quickly, but I try to do my best, you know, to at least acknowledge them and understand the perspective. This show, if you're just tuning in for the very first time, I know we had some new listeners last week and the week before, is not designed to persuade or push anyone into a particular direction. We are having conversations about beyond the rock, meaning beyond what's happening on this rock, in the Bahamas, right? And so we have a lot of Bahamians that are abroad doing amazing things. We have a lot of global issues that affect, you know, not just our position in the global economy, but our social position as well, how we are perceived. You know, the different agreements that our governments sign onto, the price of real estate, right? All of that affects our economy, affects our daily lives. And because we live in a global community now, I'd like to call it, nothing is really a secret. If you look at the stats of who watches our news, if you're able to see kind of like behind the scenes on where the traffic is coming from, all of it is not from the Bahamas. You know, it's from the U.S., it's from, you know, the U.K., it's from Europe, parts of Europe. We no longer live in a world where we can hide certain things, right? So all of our failings, all of our shortcomings, you know, investors are looking at that. You know, the second homeowners are looking at it. The expats are looking at it. The immigrants are looking at it. The entire world is able to see what is it that's happening here. It's so keeping that in mind and looking at, you know, where we are in the Bahamas, we have to make our location strategic for the Bahamians that live here. Because there is a lot of advantages that other countries have that are just as small as us, that are countries that we consider to not be as prosperous, but their countries have certain trade agreements with other countries that put them in a more advantageous position. And if you know, you know. We're not going to talk about that this week. But a lot of times, if you are a Bahamian that would like to live abroad, do business abroad, there are significant drawbacks that you may sometimes experience, roadblocks, things like that, that other citizens of other countries similar to ours just do not. And so when you look at where we are geographically, how do we make that work for us? How do we make it strategic? And how do we look beyond the rock when what's happening on the rock can be so consuming? You know, in the news, unfortunate broad daylight, the things that are happening, right? And I don't like to harp on it, but the problem is with it, the perceived fear of crime and the perceived, you know, climate that the country is under stains the entire Bahamas. So I know in a lot of times when you have, you know, news stories and situations, I always see family islanders, and you're well within your right, talk about, that's only Nassau. Well, here's the thing. No one knows that. We intimately know our geography because we live in the country, but persons from the outside, they just see the Bahamas. That's all it is. They don't understand the distinction, oh, this is the city, this is a capital, there are other islands, they are not all the same. No, they just see the Bahamas. And so all of these things affect us, whether we like it to or not. And the route to take is never telling the press, well, hey, maybe you should report on this less. Because it's not the press's job to do PR for a country. The role of the press is to literally, and the role of media is to disseminate and bring information. And that's basically what it is, right? So who we are as a nation has to be reflected in what it is that is happening and what is seen. Because what you don't want is a media landscape or a press landscape that is so vastly different from the actual goings-ons in a country, what's happening, that is a complete disparity, right? You don't want that. So what we must do in order to keep what we're seeing congruent with what we want to see is each one of us individually have to decide what type of country we want and make the changes. And unfortunately, we do not have the ability to change other people. And so sometimes that means for some Bahamians, they feel better off abroad or beyond the rock. And that is a personal decision. So this show is not to persuade anyone to move or to relocate. And I get accused of that so much. And it is not the design. It is not what we're doing. What we're doing is just discussing the lives, the opportunities that are beyond the rock. Because perhaps for somebody, that may be the answer that they need or the sign that they need or the access that they need to make their lives better as a Bahamian and to feed back into the Bahamian economy, whether it's with, you know, culture or monetarily or networking. And so there's not a lot of Bahamians when you look at, you know, our population compared to a lot of other countries. There's very few of us. So if we can create strong networks all over the world, that is a significant advantage to what our overall goal is, which is to build a country and to make sure that the Bahamas improves, not declines over the years. And so one of the aggravations that a lot of Bahamians that we have who are still here and that a lot of Bahamians who live abroad cannot relate to is basically just the shoddy infrastructure. And there's not a better word that I could use to describe that, because no matter what has been promised, no matter what has been paraded through the streets and seen as a solution, somehow it seemed to work year after year after year. And so if you look at our headlines and you look at certain other countries, I don't want to call which continent they're on, but the parallels are so identical that it's horrifying to think of what the implications of that means. You know, and you don't want to go there, but one and one sometimes is just two. And so what are we doing? Because we're going to spend money again on an upcoming celebration. And I saw someone's Facebook status. I don't remember who it is. And they said something like, you know, what if we spent the money differently this year? And I agree. Now, I don't know how far that budget can stretch. You know, a lot of times those celebrations are seen to increase and boost morale, but I'll tell you what erases it. Sitting in a house, you know, for hours with no water. And obviously things happen, right? You have mistakes happen, pipes burst, things, you know, break down. It is what it is. But when you have that combined with, you know, a load shedding weekend, and then also, you know, telecommunications being spotty in some areas, you know, it just can leave the citizens with a morale that just cannot be lifted by celebrations. It just cannot, because everyday life cannot be erased. And that is one of the things culturally that we have to shift. Not looking so much forward to, you know, celebrations here and there, but what is the daily life of the average Bahamian going to look like? And yes, it does affect everyone, because it doesn't matter which gate you run behind. It doesn't matter, you know, what you put up as a barrier. When you have an economy that there is no trickle-down effect, you know, but money not actually circulating in the economy the way it should. And this is not a conversation about socialism. Those of you that listen to me know that, you know, I don't believe in that. And I do believe that there is a certain level of responsibility that any government has. And I'm not talking any specific government, but governments do have to their citizens. But at the end of the day, if you have a free and open market, a lot of those problems take care of themselves. But if you have a market that's quote unquote not free, where someone getting a simple permit for a business or getting approvals for simple things, you know, there's a significant barrier, then you end up with a population that's extremely dependent. And is this what we want? I see your text coming in. Please go ahead and send them 242-422-4796. I'm going to go ahead and read them in just a second. 242-422-4796 if you want to chime in on the conversation. Here's a funny thing. So I don't know what your watching habits are, but this weekend, if you follow Bridgerton, you know, they released some new episodes. And I have to mention it because I did, you know, the upcoming season. And I watched it and I was a bit disappointed. And the reason why is because here's the thing. So when you watch a show, you expect an evolution and progression. You don't expect to see the same theme remixed. I mean, they can do it, but you don't expect it. And that's how I feel we have become as a nation. Where's the growth? And I'm not talking about, you know, what's the PR stuff that's being reported, right? I'm talking about the average citizen. Are they growing? Are we growing? Because if you look at our representation online, I don't know. I mean, it's profanity laced. I mean, consistently, right? Especially if you go on TikTok and you just type in the Bahamas, almost every video sounds like that. And why is that? Is that our brand? Is that who we are? Because perception, people don't really care about looking deep and beyond. You know, they kind of see what you see is what you get. So it is what it is. Let me know your thoughts. So I see a couple of texts here about Bridget, and I'll read those. This is not a show about it, but I just had to touch on that because I was disappointed. I expected, you know, a little more, and it just kind of fell flat. And I can wait on the other episodes, but, you know, to have so much anticipation and then it's just lukewarm is a crazy thing. So, yeah, 242-422-4796. We're going to take a quick break. On the other side of the break, I'm going to go ahead and read your text, and we're going to dive a little bit deeper on tonight's topic. And what I want to talk about is basically the average behavior we are when we talk about wealth. And does that even seem like something Bahamians can acquire? And before we go to a break, let me tell you why. I had a conversation with a company that does business in the Bahamas. And when I say they do business in the Bahamas, they're not registered as a Bahamian company. They sell to Bahamians and expats a particular product. And the gentleman that I was speaking to, you know, was very proud of this territory as a sales rep, because their gross revenue in sales from the Bahamas as a whole, and they in this product that they sell, they include, you know, Nassau, they include, or New Providence rather, they include, you know, Grand Bahama, Abaco, I think Long Island, Abaco, Eleuthera, Exuma, and Cat Island. Those were the areas. And they did $14.5 million in gross revenue just from this one account, just from the Bahamas. And this is a product that Bahamians sell. That money did not touch the economy, though. Because even though that's a product that Bahamians sell, the vendor is a U.S.-based vendor marketing to, advertising to, and selling to the Bahamian and the U.S. market. And so are we actually participating in the real economy? Are we? Because if they've done that, you know, within a few years, you know, where are we? So let's just take a quick break. 242-422-4796 and stick and stay. We'll be right back.
Sebastian Alliance Group, SAG, where we empower small businesses to succeed, where we make the impossible possible, with our e-commerce is possible, no more brick and mortar, get digital, SAG is right here for you. U.S., Canada, Bahamas. You can build a website for your products. Accepting credit cards or digital payments. We make it easy, the process is seamless. Sebastian Alliance Group, SAG. Where we empower small businesses to succeed.
You can find it all at Builders Mall. From cement, lumber, block, plumbing, and electrical, to paint, lights, vanities, and tiles. Not to mention all the tools you could possibly need to get the job done. Say for starting a major project, adding the finishing touches, or just doing some repair or rental work around the house. FYP, the Paint Center, and Tile King can help. Stop by or call 601-8453. Located 69 Wolf Road, Nassau. You can find it all at Builders Mall. Building, painting, and tiling, the Bahamas.
Rich person as someone who has at least $30 million. These are referred to as ultra-high net worth individuals. The country with the most rich people by this definition is the United States, with more than 40,000, followed by Japan in a distant second with about 17,000, then Germany, the UK, and China. But if you look at the data a different way and instead consider the number of rich people as a percentage of the total population, the numbers tell a different story. First of all, let's disqualify tax havens like Monaco, Switzerland, Cyprus, Hong Kong, and Singapore. These countries all have a large number of rich people, but these numbers are artificial because their rich people come from all over the world. They choose to live or register their business in these countries mainly because of their tax haven status. We want to find the countries that actually have the most native rich people per capita. When we look at those numbers, Norway comes in first, with 484 rich people per million inhabitants, followed by Sweden, New Zealand, Canada, and Denmark. The U.S. comes in at number 13 on that list, with 126 rich people per million inhabitants. If you look at the same data but raise the threshold for richness up to $1 billion, Iceland is the top country with 3.1 billionaires per million inhabitants. This is followed by Sweden, Norway, the US, and Germany. So the average for all of Scandinavia, which includes Denmark, Norway, and Sweden, is 2.1 billionaires per million people.
You are listening to Beyond the Rock. I am your host, Dazzy. And tonight, if you want to chime in on the conversation, go ahead and text me, 242-422-4796, 242-422-4796. I'm going to read a couple of your texts. So we got some check-ins here. So we got a check-in from Carmichael. Thank you so much. Thank you for tuning in. We've got Goodman's Bay, and we've got AIP. Apparently, they're still at work. And this one was, I shouldn't laugh at this one. It isn't funny. But this one says, hi, Dazzy. I'm checking in from Fort Lauderdale tonight. I just left this evening because I had to deal with the fire and smoke last week. The water was off this weekend. The power was off. Gone for a few days. We'll be back soon. Listen, you got to do what you got to do. You got to do what you got to do. Just to keep your sanity, you got to do what you got to do. Because that can be incredibly frustrating, especially if, you know, you don't have alternate means of getting these resources, which is highly inconvenient, right? So you got to do what you got to do. So text her, you know, I have fun. Enjoy. That's all I'm going to say. Here's another text. Dazier thought Bridgerton was amazing. Sorry to hear your comments. Well, I mean, that's perspective, right? That's just my opinion. Now, the part that I did enjoy, you know, was just a few moments of it. But overall, you know, it's just how I felt. Here's another text. I think you should wait on giving your opinion until the other episodes drop. You may be right, but I don't know if I'm going to watch the other episodes, right? So I'm just reporting on what it is that I see now. I enjoyed the first new the previous seasons. Just this one, I just didn't think it was that great. So that clip that we played, talking about, you know, high net worth and ultra high net worth, and the rankings that the different countries have. One of the things that I always find interesting when we open the dialogue, talking about money in the Bahamas and talking about the Bahamians themselves that either have wealth or have acquired wealth, it is extremely rare to hear this conversation in context to pursuits that were done legally. Why is this? Because that seems to be the running theme. And you can have this conversation anywhere, right? The average conversation. That should not be. Because if you have a country where you have, you know, the youth coming up, you have persons that are, you know, trying to live the right way, doing the right things, but they have a perception that this is not going to ever be the path that is going to make them, you know, at the financial status that they want to be, you have a problem in the country. It's a significant issue. And so there are persons here that have done extremely well, and it has been done legally, you know, grossing in net worth even higher than what was mentioned. But are they represented in the media? Usually not. Why is that? Because then again, we have such a small society, you know, persons like to keep, you know, what they have private as to not stir up, you know, envy, asking, and as well they should. But the issue is when you have such a small population and they're not represented, and a lot of times the only representation you see of money is either, you know, some headline talking about foreign investment or some illegal activity that got interrupted and what the street value of what was interrupted amounts to, you then have a problem. Because then it leads to Bahamians feeling as if, okay, if I'm an honest person, if I'm a good person, if I want to make money legally and to become wealthy in a certain aspect, I cannot do it here. And it doesn't matter if technically that is true or it is not true. It doesn't matter. What matters is the perception of this being true. Because perceptions are what people absorb. Perceptions are what, you know, children look at, adults look at. It is perception, not to dig and find what is fact. And so that's a significant problem. And how do we fix that? So that have been doing an amazing job. You know, the SBDC, you know, the Bahamas Development Bank. They've all been contributing. And numerous, I've seen, you know, private investment groups making progress in these areas. And so it is improving. I don't want anyone to think that, you know, it's purely a cynical take. It is improving, but are we improving fast enough? And is this enough to change the perception? And if it isn't, what then do we do? And the thing about all of this is, do we do anything? Because what is then the truth? Because if you bring up certain topics in this country, let me give you an example. And I don't want to go deep in this because it gets people very emotional. But if you have a Bahamian and they decide, okay, I want to go ahead and, you know, open a U.S. bank account. I want to do this. I want to do that. Some of the things on the list that they're talking about are supposedly illegal, right? Now, whether it is or isn't, that is a perception. And so do you really have free enterprise? Do you really have freedom of movement for the citizens? Do you really have the encouragement for Bahamians to strike out? Because I'll tell you this. If you make it easy for Bahamians to bring money into the country, they're going to spend it into the country. They're going to spend it here. If you make it difficult, they're not going to. And so do we have freedom of access of movement? How easy is it to get large amounts of money here? How easy is it to send it out of the country? And I understand about, you know, the financial implications, you know, obviously the dollar has to stay pegged, blah, blah, blah. There's so many nuances to what I'm talking about. I don't want to disregard that fact. But here's the thing. Many of your citizens are not going to do these things. There's only going to be a select few. The entrepreneurially minded, you know, the ones who have a high risk tolerance, the ones who want to do, you know, investment abroad, et cetera, et cetera. It's not going to be a significant part of the population. So then do they matter? Because they can significantly alter and change the GDP of the country tremendously. But do they matter enough as a segment of the population to put effort into making things easier for them and for the ease of doing business? Is it? And so these are the things that, you know, we have to talk about. If we're going to talk about telling me not to talk about Bahamians abroad, because again, why are they abroad? Now, you're always going to have some segment of the population that's going to leave. But the brain drain, we've seen is significant. And let me tell you, it is so disheartening to talk to Bahamians and to see what they're doing abroad, because it really makes you realize the quality of, you know, the intellect, the creativity, the talent that we really have here. And certainly this talent, this creativity, this intellectual capacity is not an issue. The issue is their feelings and their residual ideas about the Bahamas, about their home, and whether or not they're going to contribute and invest and come back here. Because you don't want people running for their lives, quote unquote. They're not going to come back. They're not going to look kindly on the place. They're not going to vacation here. They're just not. One of the things that makes a lot of African immigrants so strong in their communities is because they consistently reinvest back into their country. And one particular segment, the Nigerians, that do extremely well in the U.S. with their entrepreneurial pursuits, their connection to their home country is so strong. And so the flow of money and the flow of exchange and the flow of talent is very consistent. And so that is ultimately what I want to see for the Bahamas, where that exchange becomes seamless, where when our citizens leave, they don't have the posture that, hey, I'm never going to look back. I'm never going to come back. You know, I'm never going to bring my children on vacation. I'm never going to do it. We don't want that. And so we must not let pride individually ostracize persons also who have left. Because I see and hear a lot of that as well. And what is that going to do? What is the point? What is the point of it? There is no point. And so you are a Bahamian anywhere you are. And sometimes you can be a better Bahamian when you are abroad. And that just is what it is. And so when we look at bridging that gap of Bahamians beyond the rock and Bahamians here, of establishing trade, of establishing commerce, making sure that our exports are strong, making sure that our imports are strong. We have Bahamians in other places of the world, you know, putting policy together, ensuring that we have a seat at the table in global conversations that affect us. And that is the bigger picture, not what is happening here. Not that it doesn't matter, but that's not the ultimate photo that we have to look at in a wide frame. Let me read a couple more of your texts. Hi, Dazzy, I hear you, but the only thing that I can ever think of when I think about coming back home is the expense, the hassle. Ironically, I was thinking about coming this very same weekend, and after I saw what was going on based on social media, again later on in the summer or maybe in the fall. All right, thank you for texting. So this is obviously a Bahamian abroad that considered coming home this weekend for the holiday and changed their mind when they saw, I guess, the drama that ensued on social media. And I guess texter, you know, hope to see you soon in the summer or fall or for Christmas. But this is exactly what we don't want. And the funny thing about it is a lot of times wherever, Tex, I'm not sure where you live now, but wherever we migrate from, where we migrate to, they have their problems and their issues as well. You know, sometimes it's mass shootings, you know, you have acts of terrorism. There's so many things that are going on. But is the perception and is the feeling that they have one of more safety than being here? And that is the question. So how do we fix this? I have another text. Dazzy, thank you for inserting the wealth conversation here. I left because I did not see it possible for me trying to make an honest living to be wealthy back at home. I've lived abroad for the past 7 years and I've done extremely well. I'm already a millionaire. This would not have happened had I stayed. I'm 100% sure of this. Good show. All right. Thank you so much for chiming in. And so these are the commentary that Bahamians abroad are seeing. Now, all of them obviously don't leave for financial reasons. You know, we have Bahamians that leave because, you know, they are exceptional in the arts. They're exceptional in sports. They may have some business acumen that's not necessarily driven by wealth acquisition, but it's driven by just the need to expand. And so it takes all types. It takes us as citizens contributing in each individual way that makes sense for what that we have. And so what do we do? What do we do as a nation? What do we do? Go ahead and text. I'm going to read your text. 242-422-4796. 242-422-4796. Go ahead and text me. Let me know what you think about it. Let me know if the reason that you migrated is primarily because of wealth and your aspirations. Was it because of art? Was it because of culture? And let us know why. We'd like to know why. Because at some point, this brain drain is something that we have to stop. It'll never be completely eliminated, but it has to, you know, if it doesn't, let's just talk about what that scenario would look like. Let's just say it doesn't. We don't stop the flow of the tide of the best and the brightest leaving. What will this country look like in 50 years? And I don't mean to disparage any group at all, but with the flow out of the best and the brightest and the flow in of other persons migrating legally and illegally, what will the Bahamas look like in 50 years? What will the Bahamas look like in 100 years? Will we just be visitors in our own town? Like, what will become of us ultimately, of the landscape, of the country? And these are considerations that we have to think of now. Because I can tell you I was in high school and college years, there were a significant number of friends of mine that have never returned. The only way we see them is on Facebook, or if they decide to come and make a trek once every 5 years, you know, to take their kids to the beach and to do like a friend group meetup, and that is it. And it's significant. It's a significant number. And so that was many, many years ago. So think of successive graduation classes since who have gone on. Because I'm in a few expat groups now of Bahamians abroad. And it's thousands in those groups. And they keep up to date with what's going on, but they're never to return, most of them. And so that's the flow we don't want. That's the flow we don't want. If we're going to build this nation, if we want to make sure that it stays, I shouldn't even say stays, if it becomes a country that is desirable for the average Bahamian. I'm not talking about, you know, the Bahamians, you know, at the very top, because even them have their complaints. Because I'll tell you, everyone still has to drive the same roads. You know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you drive, you're falling into the same pothole. You know, it is what it is. Now, you can restrict your movement. I do know some people that do that, to just one section of the island. But again, do you want to just live in a 12-mile radius? Do you really want to do that? I mean, you can. There are people that do it, or they just drive along the coastline. I'll never forget. This is many years ago. I was still in the car industry. This is many, many years ago. And there was a political rally coming up. And I remember someone who was supposed to attend one of the rallies sought me out. And the question was, Where is South Beach exactly? Where is the South Beach police station? And I remember being just completely shocked. And I said, what do you mean, where is it? Because I said, you know, there has to be more to this question than what meets the eye. There's some layer here that I'm missing. And the question came again, no, like, where is it? Like, how do I get to it? Can you give me directions? And so my response was, yeah, well, this road, and then you just continue heading south, and you're going to run into it eventually. It's going to be on the left. You know, it's green. You'll see the sign. So after I gave the directions, I couldn't help but say, have you never been on that side of the island? And the answer was no, never. And then they said, well, not that I could remember. And this is someone who was close to middle age that has a Bahamian passport, had no clue. And I understand, because certain areas of Nassau I don't traverse, I'm not familiar with either. I won't call the names and areas, but some areas, you know, I need Google Maps, right? They're very densely populated. You know, the corners, some of the corners go nowhere. You got to know where you're going, right? However, I've been through there at least once. I know where it is. I don't think there's any area on this island I've not seen at least once or can identify without needing Google Maps to actually get there. But for someone to be Bahamian and to have like no idea on even the direction, you know, we cannot live like that. It's absolutely ridiculous. The entire island is 7 miles by 21 miles. That's such a tiny radius. And so do you really want to live in a country where you have to restrict your movement, you know, to a 5 mile area? That's not living. It's not. But why is it like this? So we can improve that. So I want to take another quick commercial break. I see your texts coming in. I'm going to definitely read them on the other side. You can go ahead and send 242-422-4796. 242-422-4796. Let me know where you're listening in from. Let me know, you know, what your primary reason, if you're not still living here, for relocating. And if you are a Bahamian still living here and you're thinking about relocating, let me know what are the reasons that are driving you to these decisions. Because at the end of the day, no matter which side of the totem pole you are, whether you're happy here, you intend to remain here, whether you've gone abroad or you're coming back, you could be a Bahamian, and a Bahamian is a Bahamian anywhere they are, right? So please stick and stay. You're listening to Beyond the Rock. I'm your host, Dazzy, and on the other side, I'm going to read more of your texts.
You can find it all at Builders Mall. From cement, lumber, block, plumbing, and electrical, to paint, lights, vanities, and tiles. Not to mention all the tools you could possibly need to get the job done. Say if you're starting a major project, adding the finishing touches, or just doing some repair or rental work around the house. FYP, the Paint Center, and our call, 601-8453. Located 69 Wolf Road, Nassau. You can find it all at Builders Mall. Building, painting, and tiling, the Bahamas.
Sebastian Alliance Group, SAG, where we empower small businesses to succeed, where we make the impossible possible, with our e-commerce is possible, no more brick and mortar, get digital, SAG is right here for you. U.S., Canada, Bahamas. You can build a website for your products. Accepting credit cards or digital payments. We make it easy, the process is seamless. Sebastian Alliance Group, SAG. Where we empower small businesses to succeed.
You can find it all at Builders Mall. From cement, lumber, block, plumbing, and electrical, to paint, lights, vanities, and tiles. Not to mention all the tools you could possibly need to get the job done. Say if you're starting a major project, adding the finishing touches, or just doing some repair or rental work around the house. FYP, the Paint Center, and Tile King can help. Stop by or call 601-869 Wolf Road, Nassau. You can find it all at Builders Mall. Building, painting, and tiling, the Bahamas.
You are listening to Beyond the Rock. I'm your host, Dazzy. And tonight, we're having some interesting conversations here. Thank you for all of your texts and your responses. If you want to reach out to me directly and you don't want to text and you want me to read your commentary on a future show, please go ahead and message me either on LinkedIn or Facebook. Those are the best platforms, Odaz Gibbs, ODAZGIBBS. Those are the best platforms to reach me. And go ahead and send me your story. I'm going to read it. I'm going to omit the things that you may not want to talk about publicly, because I noticed that not everyone wants to do, you know, and have their voice heard and talk about exactly what's going on. But I will read, you know, your journey, how it's been, and your reasonings. So, yeah, if you want to go ahead and contribute to that, please go ahead and message me, and yeah, I'll go ahead and read your story and omit any identifiers, like a certain other paper publication used to be back in the day, you remember? Yeah, they're gone now, but it's, you know, some of those stories. So yeah, let me read a couple texts. So it says, "Hi, Dazzy, I left for an opportunity, plain and simple. I visit home every year, sometimes 3 or 4 times, depending on how busy I am. My father did everything possible to prevent me from relocating to the U.S., him and my mother even sent me to university in Spain, but eventually I was able to make my way over. Now I am actually the sole breadwinner of the family and was able to retire them both early after my dad had his accident. Listening in from Houston, Texas." All right. Thank you for texting. That is, well, you know, sometimes that's how life is. And I'm sure that, you know, your parents may have had your best interest at heart. You know, there's a lot of things that, it's so funny. The same way that Family Islanders look at Nassau is the same way that a lot of Nassauians and Bahamians look at the U.S. as well, right? And then the ones who are actually living there are having a very different experience because they're not bombarded by, you know, media sensationalism and what's happening where. So I'm sure that they try to prevent that for your own safety. But it just so happened that you persisted and proceeded, and now you are able to take care of them. And I think that's a beautiful thing. Here's another text. So it says, "I left to become who I truly am. I didn't want to be a musician and still have to have a part-time job like I saw other musicians in the industry. So I left for college and managed to find a way to stay, and I'm still here today, listening in from Manhattan." All right, good job. I hope everything is going well with that. And yes, I understand. Both of my parents were musicians, and they both had to have other employment. So I understand that angle 100%. 100%. And you have to do what it is that you need to do for you. And no one will fault you for that. And you will make the Bahamas proud no matter where you are, because that's just what it is. So if you have more texts, I'm going to continue to read them. Please send them in 242-422-4796. Here's long. Let me open this up. "Good evening, Dazzy. There are many Bahamians living and working abroad. The average Bahamians living here on New Providence. I have a relative living in Charlotte, North Carolina. The quality of life there is light years ahead of life in the Bahamas. Even wealthy Bahamians suffer here because of the poor infrastructure." Yes, that is a common theme. I was talking to a friend of mine, and she's lived abroad for a while. She came back about, how many years ago? Maybe 4 years ago? Basically, wait, what year is it now? We're in 2024. Yeah, she came back about 4 years ago. And one of the biggest gripes that she has is that even when you try to mitigate and create pathways to stop infrastructure from being so bad, you can't do it. So she told me the story about how, you know, when she first came back, she was very prepared. She heard that, you know, the power went off consistently. She heard that, you know, sometimes the internet service is not the best, and, you know, the cellular service, whatever. So she came and she tried to do everything. So she said she made sure she had a generator in place. She made sure that she had more than one, you know, cable provider, because her work depends on her connectivity. In terms of phone, she made the same thing. She made sure she had more than one provider. And so she was extremely confident in the fact that she had managed to basically circumvent any sabotage that may happen. In terms of a vehicle, you know, she didn't get a sedan. She got an SUV that was able to take, you know, the rugged driving should she have to traverse the island and et cetera, et cetera. So she covered all of her bases. She got the best insurance she said that she could get. And she even got the, what is the name of the company? It slips my mind. I think it's MASA, M-A-S-A. where they do like to the U.S. Because the memberships are pretty inexpensive. So she said she got one of those as well. So she said she did everything. She did everything she possibly could. She's like, you know, she's going to enjoy it here. She's back and it's great. So here's what happened. So she said the first month, her generator actually developed an issue because apparently, you know, the inconsistent power, something happened to her switch, et cetera, et cetera. So she said she was trying to get that repaired and they informed her that the part that she needed would have to be flown in. So she ordered the part. The part was flown in. It was the wrong part. Had to send it back. During that period of time, there were several power outages, right? During the time that that happened. And so she said that, you know, she tried to work around that by, you know, going by other family members, et cetera, et cetera. Finally got the part, finally got, you know, the generator repaired and fixed. She had that up and running. And then she had another issue that happened with her vehicle. So she said, basically, it was pretty much a successive month after month after month of things failing based on what she tried to do to prevent it. And she came from a country in Europe where, you know, it's kind of seamless of what goes on. She works in a hotel now. I know she's listening to the show. Good night. Hope you're well. But it was quite the adjustment, she said, for her emotionally and financially, because even when, and she came back pretty well off, right? She came back extremely comfortable. And she said, even when she did everything in her power, you know, there's still calamity based on, you know, shoddy infrastructure. She also had a situation where one night she was going into a restaurant and she said she was almost at the front door and she got robbed, right? And so that could obviously happen anywhere, but it happened to her compounding on these other things. And so her transition was extremely rough and she just felt as if the amount of money that it costs to live in the Bahamas, you know, the quality is just so poor. And she just couldn't get past that fact. And, you know, when you look at our rank in the world, if you Google it, it depends on which website you go on. But on some websites, they have us ranked as, I think, third most expensive, which some people don't believe, and that's fine. But even if I know a couple years ago, we were ranked as fifth, right? Depending on the website you go to, definitely in the top 10. But if you look at the trade-off, and don't say the beach is pretty, please do not text me with that nonsense, because I already see the beginning of the text about the beach. The beach is pretty. Yes, we know this. That is a given. Okay. But that cannot compensate for what we go through in daily life. It just can't. And so things have to change if we are going to have a country that is going to invite the brightest and the best. Because one of the things that we like to complain about as well is the quality of the expats sometimes that are attracted to the Bahamas. And this is not going to be a popular conversation, but I'm going to say it. Because a lot of times, you know why they're attracted to the Bahamas? And obviously, this is not everyone, but I should not have to give continuous caveats for common sense. We're not going to do that. But you know why they're attracted to the Bahamas? Because a lot of times there's a perception that anything goes, that we are corruptible, that it is a country that turns a blind eye to debauchery and deviant behavior. And so we have to confront these things. Is that what our brand is? Because I've seen it in movies. They talk about, you know, whatever illegal activity and they're going to run off to the Bahamas. Why are you coming here? Why are you coming here? Why? Why is that the exit plan? And so these are perceptions that we have to change. And so when we have persons in our community that are breaking the law, that are living certain lifestyles, they shouldn't be able to live for 20 years, right? Conducting alleged illegal activity behavior and preying on the vulnerable in society, and you just turn a blind eye? Like, what? We gotta be serious. That's such an unserious proposition that if I did not live here and see the stories, I would not have believed it. Because you just cannot be that dazzled. You just cannot. You just cannot. It is ridiculous, you know? So here is a text. Let me read another text. So it says, I've been living in the United States since 2007, initially left for college and was able to find employment and sponsorship for my permanent residency. Even though I may be overqualified to work in the Bahamian economy, I'm committed to returning back to my country eventually, even if that looks like working remotely and being paid in U.S. dollars. Home is still home, but unfortunately, opportunities are limited. Thank you so much for your text. And this is true. This is very true. And so we no longer need to look at Bahamians who have left as traitors. You don't need to look at them as stealing anything away. Because, again, home is home. And the skills and the knowledge that they gain, they're going to bring back into the economy. And they're going to bring money as well, what they would have made. And that's what happens with a lot of immigrants. They'll go and live for a country for a certain amount of years and they return. You even see that here in the Bahamas. I mean, I spoke to a couple about 4 months ago and they were exporting a container of all of the belongings that they accumulated in the Bahamas back to Canada. They were from Vancouver. And so all of their artwork, all of their, they're returning back to their country. And they lived here, I think it was something like 30 something years. Right. And they eventually decided, hey, we want to go back home. And so that's all it is. And you can, again, still maintain strong ties in a country with the Bahamians that live beyond the rock. If we are committed to growth, if we are committed to bridging the gap of the community where geography does not divide us and leaving is not seen as, you know, something both simultaneously enviable and also to be despised, because the cognitive dissonance there is beyond me. I don't understand. You cannot simultaneously admire someone's ability to leave and succeed abroad and also despise them for it by claiming, you know, that they are whatever. It makes no sense. It really doesn't. And it's a small-minded perspective. And I want us to rise above this if we're going to fix the country, because obviously, it's not going to fix by the way we vote. And the reason why I say this is because no particular government can fix all the troubles. And it is unrealistic for us to expect governments to fix all of the problems. Because what are we as citizens doing? That's what citizens and entrepreneurs do. They fix problems. What the government needs to do, and not this particular government, but any government, is to provide the platform and to make sure that free enterprise is encouraged. And so that the Bahamians can thrive both abroad and here. But I like this texter talking about returning home, even if they have to work remotely, get paid in USD while they live in the Bahamas. And so for some persons, that may be their path, especially if you're in certain industries. If you are a high-end marketing executive, go on LinkedIn and type in what it is that you do and see the comparable salary. Even when you take out tax in certain regions, it's like night and day. Because you're looking at certain, and it depends again on industry, but I got the disparity is as much as 100K per year in compensation. Do you know what that can do for your life in 5 years? If you don't get distracted and purchase a Lamborghini Urus and get Benares and a constant plastic surgery, you know, if you're able to live or just drop it all in Chanel, or if you are able to focus and have a little bit of discipline, do you know what that translates into? How early you can retire versus you trying to milk, you know, 40, 50K doing the same work. Do not be deceived. They're not working you any harder. You are as good as, if not better, than the skill set abroad, as many Bahamians would have seen, much to their surprise. Your work ethic is not shoddy. Please ignore the visitors from up north that tell us that, because they just use that as an excuse to exploit our labor. Don't believe it. Bahamians are exceptional. They're talented. They're intelligent. That's what we are. And when we export that to different countries, we are actually compensated for it. And it does not mean that you will leave forever. And it does not mean that you abandon your home. You can be a good Bahamian anywhere. You can come back and invest. You may not want to invest in Nassau, but the family islands are open. Now, if we can get a national land registry, but that's another show. We're not going to touch that. You may feel more comfortable. I mean, we fixed the car title thing. I think land should be next. And so we need to make it easy with our banking systems, with our economy, make it easy for Bahamians abroad to navigate it. Make it easy. And that is how brain drain is not brain drain. Because you will have persons that will between countries. But they need the opportunity. They need the platform. They need the access. And they need the security that they're not being shunned from their own hometown. They should not feel like they had to escape, that they were trapped, and that beyond the rock lies, you know, freedom, and they're never to return. That's not what we want. We want Bahamians to be able to go on YouTube and listen to some of the same opportunities that they're hearing, like the video that I just played, and say, I can do that and be that one day. We need that for our youth. We need it for the shocks. We need it for the adults. It's needed for everyone. But we have to start somewhere. And the first place to start is awareness. That's one of the first places to start. And taking inventory and taking stock. And again, this show is not to encourage anyone by any means to move abroad. This is merely reflecting, reporting, and just discussing what Bahamians abroad are doing, how they're faring. And not every single person is a spectacular story of, you know, fame. You have ordinary careers, ordinary people, but again, quality of life. Again, peace of mind. They all contribute, and they're all a part of what is represented as Bahamians. And what do we want that to look like? So that's our show for tonight. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you for texting and participating. I do enjoy the feedback. If you need to send me a message and you want to discuss, you know, something pertaining to being a Bahamian abroad, you want to tell me your story, whether you want to come on air or you just wanted me to read your story, either way, it's fine. Reach out to me and let me know. On Facebook, type in Beyond the Rock. You can send me a message there. You can also send it on my private profile, Odaz Gibbs, on LinkedIn as well, Odaz Gibbs there as well. All right, so everyone have a good evening. Let us pray and hope. We got some rain. That was a start. We needed that so badly. But let us pray that everything else, let's pray the duct tape holds itself, right? You're listening to Beyond the Rock. I'm your host, Dazzy. Enjoyed having this show and conversation with you tonight, and we'll have more conversations next week.